The U.S. Supreme Court chambers are adorned with a large display of the Ten Commandments. One might ask, why? Recent decisions to denigrate heterosexual marriage and enshrine homosexual unions give the lie to a court and culture based on biblical standards. Indeed, the long road to American ruin is not only here, we're nearing its end. Today, perhaps the most powerful message Erwin Lutzer has ever given. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. How should believers react when evil triumphs? Now, Erwin Lutzer comes with a clarion call message on God, the Supreme Court, and the unthinkable.
It was Francis Schaeffer, the theologian and philosopher of the 70s, who told us that when a culture goes downhill, the unthinkable becomes thinkable. And then in the next generation, once again, the unthinkable becomes thinkable. Well, I think as a result of the Supreme Court decisions recently, the unthinkable has now become thinkable. And here we are. As you well know, the Supreme Court struck down DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and also Proposition 8, making same-sex marriage legal again in the state of California. I don't want you to take any hope or comfort from the fact that the court did not officially rule on the constitutionality and the legality of same-sex marriage, because the fact is that it assumed that in both of the decisions that were made. And so we can anticipate in the future that another court at another day, perhaps sooner than we realize, will finally make it constitutional and legal in all 50 states. I want to speak about this today, and I'm going to be bringing a message from my heart to your heart. I will not be preaching on one passage of Scripture as I normally do, but rather sharing my heart and many scriptures throughout the message. So it will be a biblical message, but I want you to listen very carefully because I have a burden that I need to deliver to you and to our wider audience. A couple of comments by way of introduction. First of all, let's remember that this is a matter not of hate, but debate. Not of hate, but debate. The fact is that according to one of the Supreme Court justices, in effect, those who oppose same-sex marriage are really enemies of the state, or at least they are enemies of decency and tolerance and enemies of love. I want you to visualize something. I want you to visualize a truck backing up, and because it has a blind spot, it can't see directly behind itself. The driver can't. And as a result of that, you see that he's going over the cliff, and you run to him, and you say, "Stop, stop, you're going over the cliff." And instantly, you are surrounded by a whole crowd of people. And the crowd of people says to you, "Why are you so prejudiced? Why are you so bigoted that you believe that trucks should only go on the roads that you think are the right roads? Who makes you a judge over where this truck can go? The truck should be able to go wherever it wants to go." And as a result of that, you are nothing but a hater. That's the way I sometimes feel, and I think I feel this way today, because there are those who are going to say, "You hate." No, I don't hate. I wish that you could see into my heart today, and those of you who are present who struggle with same-sex attraction, and I hope that there are many of you listening to this message, if you could see into my heart today, you would see nothing but compassion, nothing but love, nothing but concern, because I believe that you are going over the abyss. And my desire today is to make sure that your soul is saved by Jesus Christ. I wish nothing for you except the grace and the mercy of God and the salvation that was purchased for all sinners, no matter what their orientation is. You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, what about all those who were so jubilant and so happy as a result of this decision?" Well, first of all, look at it through their own eyes, and when you do that, you'll discover that, of course, they want justification for their lifestyle, and now they've received it from the Supreme Court of the United States, and so, of course, there's jubilation. But, you know, I've studied moral philosophy. I have a degree or two in philosophy. And as I studied it, I noticed that there's no moral philosopher that I know of who says that the rightness or the wrongness of an action should be determined by the amount of jubilation or giddiness that it produces in the mind of the person who commits it. I don't know of any that say that. There is, after all, some higher laws and some higher principles that we must adhere to. So I say to those of you today in the same-sex relationships or wherever you are, remember, it's not hate. It's respect, it's debate, it's listening. And I want you to listen to this message to the very end, to the concluding illustration, because I have your soul, your future in mind, and in mind all people who do not know Christ as Savior, as we shall see. There's a second introductory principle, and that is that let us keep in mind that the Bible speaks very directly to homosexuality, but remember also it is not simply in the Bible, but it is also rooted in what we call natural law. Now, for those of us who believe the Bible, of course, that settles it. And if you're a little unclear as to what the Bible teaches in the New Testament regarding it, could I encourage you to read Romans chapter 1 very carefully, and there it is, all laid out, inspired by God. And I might say, in passing, that it actually means what it says. I've read those who have tried to get around the clear teaching of Scripture, and you can't. And God isn't more tolerant than he used to be. I preached a couple of messages on that years ago. The tolerance of God has not changed. For a moment, I want you to see the throne of God high above the heavens. Isaiah said that he saw that throne high and lifted up. And the train of God's robe, looking at it through human eyes, filled the temple. All of the decisions of the Supreme Court of the United States of America cannot change the decisions that have been made by God's throne. So please keep in mind that the Bible is clear. But of course, natural law also teaches us that. That's why you have one man, one woman marriages in cultures that are non-Christian. In fact, in my book on same-sex marriage, and I did write a book on same-sex marriage, a book of about 100 pages that is available to you. You know, some of us, we think we have the gift of writing, but apparently very few people have the gift of reading. So I just simply throw that out to you. In that book, I quote a lesbian who says, in effect, and I'm giving it to you only as a paraphrase here, homosexuality is not normal. On the contrary, it is a challenge to the norm. Our bodies were designed for reproduction, and no fancy linguistic games can change that fact. We all know, as it says in Romans chapter 1, that those relationships are unnatural, and everyone knows that. Now, the other thing that we must keep in mind are some of the implications. And by the way, this message is going to give you seven directives as to what we as a church should do. So I want to get to those directives, but first of all, I need to cover some other ground. What are the implications of all of this? Well, first of all, let us be clear that this is only the first domino to fall. Only the first domino. The next domino to fall is polygamy. Why should somebody be married to one person, regardless of what sex it is? I'm reading here from someone who is, actually, I do have the piece of paper here, a Megan Laskalaki. Hope I pronounced that correctly. It is time for our culture to wake up. Monogamy, that is one man with another man, in other words, only two in a marriage, is not natural for many or probably even most humans. With people living together longer than ever before, a greater tolerance toward the human impulse to experience sexual variety is needed. Whether a person succeeds at being sexually monogamous depends as much on biology as environment. Only 3% to 5% of all the mammal species on Earth practice any form of monogamy. In fact, no mammal species has been proven to be truly monogamous. Biologically, we are all human animals, so it makes sense to look to the animal kingdom for clues as to what we are built for. I mean, after all, if you should be able to marry the person you love, why should you not be able to marry the persons you love? So you can have any relationship you want, maybe two men, six women, or the other way around. It does not matter. Let me say very clearly that one person on television said it very clearly: our long-range goal is the destruction of marriage. Because as long as you have traditional marriage, the traditional marriage is still going to have some sense of superiority, and not until everything is broken down will many people be satisfied. You can also probably have appeals to other things, such as pedophilia, etc., because the walls and the foundations have been broken, and you never know where it will end. Let me say also, secondly, as one of the implications is this has huge implications for children. Huge implications. You know, the Bible says that children are given to parents, and the parents should bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, teach them to fear the Lord. Every little girl and every little boy longs for a daddy and a mommy, so that the daddy can be there as the protector and as mommy is there. And please don't try to tell me that some survey shows that two men can take care of a baby with the same love and tenderness as a mother can, whether biological mother or adoptive mother. But please don't tell me that they can do it as well.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. You know, we as Christians recognize that here in the United States of America, we are in a moral freefall. I preach this message because of the decisions of the Supreme Court that have such huge implications. Implications for God, who is greatly offended. Implications for us. Implications for children and freedom of religion. You know, we as pastors frequently say that a particular series of messages is the most important we've ever preached. Well, I'm sure that I've said that again and again, but I do need to say that this particular message may well be one of the most important I have ever preached, because I've taken the decision of the Supreme Court and put it into some kind of perspective and discussed indeed what this means for us and how we as a church should respond and yet at the same time be reaching out to the homosexual community. Please stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how this message can be yours. Listen to it, share it with your friends, and spread the word.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced God, the Supreme Court, and the Unthinkable, a call to action at a crucial point in American history. Tomorrow, this message continues. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Today's message can be yours on CD, sent as our thank you, when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about God, the Supreme Court, and the Unthinkable. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.